And I have my next guest on the line right now because Halloween is coming. Ooh, spooky stuff. We need to figure out what's real. Are there ghosts? Are there not ghosts? Do ghosts exist? And so for this, I thought I'd call on my friend, Reverend Dr. Michael Leike, who has written a new book called Ghosts and Spirits. He's performed 2,500 shows in the 1980s and 1990s. He produces his own TV show. He's a magician in the Medieval Fest for 10 years. Many articles, more than 60 metaphysical self-help, magic-related hardcover and paperback books. And you also produce folk and children's music CDs. And the recipient of the Dark Stone Award for Outstanding Contribution to the Art of Magic, and so much more. And a very big aloha to you. How are you today? How are you doing?
I'm terrific. How are you, Cindy?
I'm great. I was fascinated when I saw your latest. Now, I know you've written so many books, so many. But my gosh, this latest one. What brought out the idea of talking about ghosts, and do ghosts exist?
Well, that's the age-old question, isn't it?
Yep.
To be honest, I'm a bit of a dichotomy, I suppose, because for about 25 years, I've lived in the realm, if you will, of metaphysics. I've achieved several degrees through the University of Metaphysics and the University of Sedona, etc. And many of my clientele were involved with self-help and hypnotherapy and whatnot. My goal was always to re-empower people. But running parallel to that, I was called upon to what I facetiously refer to as ghost busting. And here on the west coast of Canada, it's a very, very serious business. A lot of people are troubled, and they're also troubled by ghost spirits, poltergeists, etc. I would be called upon to clear the energy, clear the space. But also at the same time, I'm a teacher of metaphysics and meditation and Tai Chi, and tools, many tools for people as well to re-empower themselves. So I not only use the tools of hypnotherapy, but also the self-help tools of Tai Chi. They're ages old, very similar to energy healing and all that sort of thing. So it would bother me when people would call upon me. I'd feel very sad because are they imagining this? Is it the real thing? What in tarnation is going on? So the first step would be to visit their homes and to determine, well, are they imagining this? Is it their imagination? Are they going through something, in which case they don't need ghost busting? Or do they really need to have these non-physical entities out of their space? And believe it or not, that a lot of that was real, and I outlined that in the book. I outline a few examples of it. One experience was quite frightening, and I don't frighten very easily. I'm the world's probably number one skeptic, and I have encountered legitimate non-physical entities in my lifetime. But at the same time, for many years, I was a professional magician, and magicians are the biggest skeptics in the world as well. And we have our own methodologies for duplicating on stage, if you will, or close-up, ghostly manifestations. And for about 25 years, I had a real hard time combining all of that. And one day it hit me, as many of my books have, the inspiration for this, was if anyone has seen the cover of Ghosts and Spirits on Amazon, they'll see it's a skull on a horizontal box, if you will. And that's a miniature spirit cabinet, as it's called by my fellow magicians, the original name being Cephalalgia. And that you can Google. It's also in my book as well, the details where that came from. And that particular illusion I really wanted to do since I was 14. I came across it in an old mentalism book from the 1940s. And then one day I saw the illusion in my head, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to bridge the gap. I'm going to create this illusion, perhaps for Halloween, but also finally write a book that combines not exposing fraudulent mediums per se, but maybe revealing a couple of their tricks,
mm-hmm.
and combining my own real experiences with that and my experience as a magician. And I think many, many people will find it fascinating, a fascinating read, magicians or non-magicians as well.
Well, and I love the fact that you bring up the fact that, yes, there are entities. I mean, some people aren't even aware of that. But sometimes entities can be interpreted as ghosts or spirits. And I know you bring up that word quite a bit, too. And,
yes.
You know, there's a difference sometimes between what's a spirit, what's an entity, and what's a ghost. And I think sometimes people sense a spirit sometimes and may say it's a ghost. But then I always wonder, do people think of, I mean, I know here in Hawaii there's many traditions, and especially at Halloween you have people talking story about these things, but I know people who have seen, they call them the night walkers, and they come from the top of the hill, and they're ancient native Hawaiians who do their walk still because they used to walk, and they walk down from the top of the hill down to the ocean, and people kind of accept some of these things in our culture in Hawaii. And then again, there's some people who have a great fear of ghosts, which I think in a way might even attract, you know, when you're afraid of something, sometimes you actually have a chance to encounter what you're afraid of, as you know.
Absolutely.
I'd love to hear more about your encounter and what happened with your encounter time that kind of shook you up.
Well, first of all, I'll give out some information on the differences between ghosts and spirits in my own 25 years of experience. Ghost busting, doing that sort of thing, helping people with mediumship and all that, legitimate mediumship, if you will. I found what determines a ghost, what differentiates a ghost from a spirit, is how the person passed on. Was it a violent death? Was it a pleasant, gentle kind of passing? Did they pass away in their sleep? And then what happens afterwards? So if they had a violent death, if they had a death in a, say, a car crash, once their body or their spirit leaves their body, we can call that a ghost. And their movements, their non-physical happenings or accomplishments can be quite good. They can throw objects around, and they can, all that sort of stuff we've seen in Halloween and Hollywood movies is semi-true. But spirits have less abilities, and flickering of lights or the ringing of a telephone. They work mostly with electricity. They don't seem to be able to lift objects for some reason. So again, the energy, the vibration behind their passing sort of determines, are they a ghost or a spirit? So right away, if someone has rung me up or they were visiting me for mediumship, I can determine right away by asking some questions, how did, you know, Uncle Joe or Aunt Zelda die? And really, it was a close friend of mine from Winnipeg. I used to read her tarot cards almost every day just for fun. And one day I'm reading her cards and I feel, we both feel something, a woman, I could see her very clearly, transparent, but not literally with us, but sort of beside me, dark-haired female speaking in a foreign language. And it turned out to be her mother. She was speaking in Italian. I know very few words in Italian. I know a few bad words, but so I mentioned these words to my friend, and she said, oh, yes, she's saying this or that. Those are real words. And that was my first exposure to, you know, reading or seeing non-physical entities. And I kind of gained confidence after that and helped quite a number of other people after that. My weird experience, my scary experience, was when a group of us, because I would never approach a house and just do ghost busting, try to evict them, if you will. I always call on a little bit of extra help. And it was a woman that I worked side by side with in a metaphysical store for 7 years. She was a Reiki master. I'm a Reiki master as well. My wife came along, who's a Reiki master, through me and a few other students of mine, because we thought, okay, there's strength in numbers, mm-hmm. and at the very least, we can just give them Reiki and maybe chase them out, and you know, in a nice sort of way. So they're walking ahead of me. This is in the book as well. And I'm passing by a truck in the driveway, a beautiful little blue pickup truck. And I happen to peer in because I'm nosy that way. And I see what seems to be a kind of a dark figure hunched over in the front seat. So I thought, oh, maybe this is so-and-so, the one who owns this huge house. So I knock on the window, and it just sort of turned to me. And I thought, uh-oh, this is not my friend who owns the house. Mm. And the only way I can describe it was almost like a shadowy figure. This sounds like a script out of a horror movie, but it was absolutely true. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. This actually seemed to happen to me. The eyes were very black. They were as black as charcoal and expressionless. So I don't know what made me open the door. I think I didn't believe it, and it seemed to jump on me. It jumped on my back.
Oh, my.
And I almost, I couldn't yell out. My friends, my wife, were just a few feet ahead of me. They had no idea what was going on. And I could feel as if it was like squeezing my heart. It was, I had difficulty breathing. I'd never encountered anything like this before, Cindy. And I know this sounds like a weird ghost story that I made up. Finally, maybe I called out, I don't remember, but one of my friends ran over, gave it Reiki, or somehow we chased it off and it scooted away, just zipped away in the blink of an eye. And that was the hint of things to come in the house. So it was a huge house, too. It was a mansion, if you will, very, very old in downtown Vancouver. But I tell you, I still get goosebumps a little bit, even today. This was more than 20 years ago, relating this story.
And then did you ever find out why and what happened that made these people, these ghosts, be so, I guess, antagonistic and dark?
Absolutely. The thing, though, is not all ghosts and spirits are malicious.
Right.
They merely just, in my experience, they just want attention. Mm-hmm. More than 90% of the time, they're reaching out to a dearly departed because a dearly departed is right there, and to the ghost or spirit, you know, the ghost or spirit is yelling out to them, "Hi, how are you? Look at me. I love you. Mm-hmm. Give me a hug." And, of course, the living person has no knowledge unless they can see, hear, or feel them. They have no clue. So it's like you're being ignored, and this hurts. So they do everything in their power, so to speak, to try to get the living person's attention. Mm-hmm. And in this case, it could have been a native burial ground. I don't know why that existed. There was, in fact, that was the only time in my 25-year history where they were kind of malicious, negative entities. And I don't even really want to call them ghosts or spirits because every, and this is going to sound funny, every ghost and spirit I've ever met, quote unquote, they weren't bad. They weren't ill-conceived. They weren't, right. You know, angry. They were, at the worst, sad. Mm-hmm. They were maybe a little bit jealous that their loved one had moved on in a new relationship. But that's the extent of it. So why, I don't know, but the person who did ask us to come along to do this, they were absolutely right. The noises, the feelings, it was those very cliche, oh, it's getting very hot in this part of the house, or it's getting very cold here, and knocking, all these sorts of sounds. And I tell you, when we quote-unquote evicted them, I like using Reiki because it's a very high frequency, it's very close to, if you will, source energy. They scamper like cockroaches. And that's how they appeared to me, was sort of black, large, about the size of your hand, black bugs, for lack of a better term. And they just scattered. There was hundreds of them. And we just went throughout the house kind of spraying the area, if you will, with Reiki, the most effective disinfectant, if you will, in my opinion. I don't bother so much using sage. A lot of people like sage, or I don't mind incense. I'll use sandalwood sometime. I'll chant a Buddhist chant. That often kind of evicts them, if you will, as well. But I find Reiki very clean and less harmful.
And is that Reiki being used with also like light, used as light?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Or prana. I studied through the University of Metaphysics, through Dr. Master's teachings, prana. And I find prana a little bit quicker and easier and more effective than Reiki, although I love Reiki. I've written books on Reiki and on prana. And anything that's high-frequency God, if you will, or love, or light, you know, anything of the dark or in the shadows, once they're illuminated, they have to dissipate, don't they?
I have a friend who was doing this, and they said also that it had to be sometimes a conversation or a counseling session of sorts to tell them it's okay to move on, that it was kind of, you know, to give them a little courage to be free,
absolutely,
to free them, right? To free them.
Absolutely, to cross over, if you will. Because many of them don't know that they can cross over. Many of them are what we call sometimes earthbound.
Yes.
And they're sort of attached, if you will, emotionally to their living counterparts. When really, and many times, yes, I have been called to cross them over, it's just a matter of saying, hey, you know, you can move on. You can go to the light, if you will. And how that appears to me, it's a beautiful experience. I had that with my father-in-law when he passed about 5 years ago or so. It's beautiful. It's just a moving thing. It's like a slit opens up in midair, and this beautiful light, it's white and sometimes gold, sometimes a little purple, and they either step into that slit and they disappear and the slit closes up, or they float in a very loving light way, and oh, you have to experience that. It's very moving and beautiful.
Absolutely. I want people to know your website and also about your many wonderful things you do. You have magic shows you're doing all the time. You're very active in that as well. Lots of online events going on as well, right?
Yes, absolutely. Most of what I do nowadays is through Zoom or online magic shows. I'm sort of retired from the self-help metaphysical realm, but when called upon, I'll do it. They can reach my magical Dr. Michael counterpart, if you will, at magicmikelikey.com. No periods. magicmikelikey.com, all lowercase. And Google Dr. Likey, L-I-K-E-Y, D-R period, L-I-K-E-Y, on Weebly, if you will. And you'll find more of the metaphysical Dr. Michael that way.
Yeah, and you've done so much. I mean, I've known you for years, and it's been amazing how you've just been so prolific year after year, more and more books. So I think it's a wonderful thing to people explore the right way, ghosts and spirits, as Halloween approaches.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, I'm there to give, and I'm there to share, and I'm so thankful that so many people have been enjoying this book as well. I have to say it's one of my most successful ones, quote unquote, because so many people, magicians and non-magicians, seem to be drawn to it.
And I appreciate that, because you know you're coming from a place that is the real information from the higher side. In other words, a lot of people do it for lower psychic, you know, things that they want to exploit, but you're doing it from an educational metaphysical standpoint, which I find, and you've been studying that and doing that for years.
Absolutely. I'm so grateful to the University of Metaphysics, the University of Sedona, Dr. Masters, Dr. Leon, Paul Leon Masters, who started it. That changed my life completely and added legitimacy to my practice and gave me more tools to help others to help themselves.
And now you have how many books out?
Wow, this would be around 60. I have, believe it or not, about 45 metaphysically oriented books and about 15 or 16 just pure magic related. And when I say magic, I mean stage magic. I don't mean necessarily real magic, although this past year or two, I believe I've found the real magic in this lifetime, and it's just love. It's just enjoy life and give.
You know, that is always the answer. Love is always, it comes back to that, you know, it's the key behind everything, you know, it's that love and the light that comes with love. And I am just so glad we had a chance to talk. And I appreciate your dedication to what you do. You have huge dedication to what you do and to the field of what you do.
So do you, Cindy, though. I'm so honored and thankful to have known you all these years.
Yeah, for quite a few years through the metaphysical field, and I just love to see the success you're achieving, well-deserved, after years and years of practice. And I'm glad to see you getting back to your roots with magic as well and expanding that, too.
Thank you. I am, too. It's just delightful. It also brings me back to my childhood. Hopefully it touches the child in all of us. And isn't that source and love and light,
yes,
as well?
Absolutely. The wonder, yeah, the magic of being alive, mm-hmm. Yeah. And what's beyond what we can see is always there to explore. It's so fascinating. Well, a bow of gratitude, and thank you for what you're doing, and have a happy Halloween.
Thank you. You too, Cindy. Take care.
Aloha.
Aloha.